The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Wow. Do we have a lot going on? And we're going to get to President Trump and the trial in just a moment. But there's a lot of folks upset with how things are going down inside that courthouse. I want to start, though, with a story about the Speaker of the House, the Democrat from Louisiana, Mike Johnson. And Speaker Johnson is really he has me perplexed. So President Trump is now coming out and supporting Mike Johnson, and says that Mike Johnson has a tough job. He's only got a one-vote majority. And anyway, he says that Mike Johnson's a good man. However, most of the MAGA world, including Don Jr., is really fired up over Johnson and his capitulation to the Democrats. Now, I've been catching holy you-know-what because of my position on this, and I want to share some thoughts and then some reporting out of Real Clear Politics, which is just, it's bizarre. But look, I'm just having a really hard time, and maybe I know we have a lot of pastors out there, and maybe you ministers or you folks from your view in the pew can give me some guidance here, but I'm having a hard time understanding this guy, Mike Johnson. He is a born-again Christian man. He is a Southern Baptist, as am I. He is clearly a man of the book. He reads his Bible, and he goes by the teachings of the Bible. He is a devoted husband and father, and he was a regular on this program up until he was named Speaker of the House. And, of course, you know the sordid details of what happened after that. Now, in recent days, he has earned praise from a good many evangelical leaders, including Franklin Graham, Tony Perkins, Ralph Reed, many of the people that are regulars on this program. And I just find myself at odds with everybody here. And I'm wondering, is it me? What am I not seeing here that everybody else is seeing? I mean, I appreciate the fact that Mike Johnson gets down on his knees and prays before he makes decisions. I would hope that every single person on Capitol Hill does that. I think that we should appreciate our elected leaders seeking divine counsel and divine wisdom on the big issues of the day. But here's where things get a little squirrely. And again, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem here. But here's the questions that I have, and I know this is going to enrage some people, but I just have some general questions about all of this. So, Mike Johnson, he's thick as thieves with the Lord. He prays, reads his Bible. He listens to what God tells him to do. Right? That's what we have learned. So here is my question, a series of questions. Did God tell Speaker Johnson to push legislation that would provide funding for late-term abortions? Did God tell Speaker Johnson to do that? Did God urge the Speaker to use taxpayer money to pay for those gay garden parties in Colorado. Or the radical transgender propaganda for the children. Did God advise Speaker Johnson to fund border security for Ukraine while not securing a single penny for America's borders? I'm asking these questions not to be controversial. I'm asking these questions because the speaker has said over and over and over again that he seeks God's guidance. So I want to know, based on what he's told us, what exactly is God telling him? Because the God I serve does not believe in abortion. I'm just saying. So these are fair questions. And I think these are questions that the speaker, and if the speaker would ever come onto this program, I would ask him these questions, and I would do it in a very respectful way. We don't do any sort of gotcha stuff at all on this program, but I think these are questions that need to be answered, because now if you're a member of the mainstream media, and you know most of the people in those newsrooms are godless heathens, they're going to take this, and if they're smart, this is what they would do. They would take this information and say, Speaker Mike Johnson, comma, a conservative evangelical Christian, supports funding for late-term abortion facilities. Now, the speaker may push back and say, well, this was some sort of a political strategy here. Really? So killing unborn babies is now a strategy, Mr. Speaker. Is that what you're telling us? You see, this is why the speaker will not come on this program. And that's fair. I get it. So the problem I have is that now I'm getting messages from some of these evangelical leaders, none of the ones I've mentioned, who are all very good people. But I'm getting some nasty messages from these people, and they're warning me, don't you dare question Speaker Johnson on these issues. And they make it out to be like if you question Speaker Mike Johnson that you are sinning against God. This is some really weird stuff. So we know that the speaker has been thick as thieves with the Democrats, right? That's been well documented. And there is a story out of Real Clear Politics that just I wish this caught me by surprise, but it did not. So if you remember back during the State of the Union address, when Joe Biden was up there talking, and there was video of Speaker Mike Johnson rolling his eyes at the president, right? So keep in mind, when Nancy Pelosi was in that chair, she literally ripped up President Trump's State of the Union address, or literally tore it in half, she broke the law, by the way, in doing that. That's a story for another day. So anyway, Real Clear Politics has a deep dive into all of this, and it's fascinating. So they have a story up, and I'm going to read this to you. This is from Real Clear Politics. This past March, Speaker Johnson felt he owed Biden an apology. Seated just over the president's shoulder during the State of the Union address, the speaker could not mask his expressions of exhaustion and exasperation as Biden laid into Republicans. The two next met on Capitol Hill for the Friends of Ireland luncheon, where Johnson toasted Biden as America's most famous Irishman. On loan from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, his pint glass was the same one Reagan used during a 1984 visit to Ireland. And by the way, the speaker drank non-alcoholic Guinness. Reading again from Real Clear Politics, here we go. Johnson pulled Biden aside to apologize for the eye roll memes that went around the world. So Speaker Johnson literally apologized to Joe Biden for rolling his eyes during the State of the Union address. Do you think Speaker Newt Gingrich would have done that? Do you think Do you think old Tip O'Neill, do you think Kevin McCarthy would have done that? You think Kevin McCarthy would have gone and apologized for rolling his eyes? So anyway, Biden laughed at the guy, and he said, well, I'm just grateful you didn't rip up my speech, talking about Nancy Pelosi. So there you have it. This gives us some good insight into what's going on in that brain of Speaker Johnson. This guy is terrified of offending the Democrats, and he's terrified of doing something that they would object to, which is why. And by the way, he doesn't care about his own party. That's the thing. He doesn't care about MAGA. He doesn't care about the Republicans. He is doing the bidding of the Democrats here. The fact that this man went to Joe Biden, and we're talking about a couple of months after the State of the Union address, this is unbelievable. And now you've got the Speaker of the House saying, you know, I just, I feel really bad. I mean, I did a big boo-boo, and I'm just really sorry. I didn't mean to roll my eyes. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me? Are you kidding me? So if this is where we are going with the Speaker of the House, this is not a good place to be. Could you imagine President Trump, for crying out loud? And I get it. I mean, the reason why President Trump is trying to keep things together in the House is because he sees how this can be explosive, this whole situation. But I'm curious here. What am I missing here, folks? Is the Speaker a good and decent man? And if he is, why is he pushing for all of this stuff that is clearly everything that is against what the Bible says? And again, I don't have an objection to a gay garden party, probably wouldn't go to one. But, you know, again, somebody needs to, if you're going to go to a gay garden party, then you need to pay for your own daffodils and pansies. That's not on me. All right, let's go to Kathy in Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. All right, Kathy, help me out here. What's on your mind?
I think he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I think he has been from the start. I think he's probably doing his master's bidding, and his master is anybody but Jesus Christ. And I can say this because I was a Southern Baptist. I was raised by them. It's just absolutely amazing. It's watching these. I've seen so many ministers just like this. Who would sit there and tell you, you know, oh, well, I know God said this. I know the Ten Commandments say that. But regarding sodomy, and then they go on off something, and it's just crazy. The Episcopal Church has been absolutely just destroyed. I mean, destroyed from within by nothing but a bunch of wolves in sheep's clothing who all came being nice and trying to make peace in these troubled times. And then what do? All of a sudden, a year later, as soon as that particular individual, the scout, I call them the communist scout, goes out, then you find out all the endowments have been absolutely stolen from, everything's gone. And then you also find out that they were lying to you the whole blooming time. Then you find out wonderful little things like what they were doing out of the back of the church. This goes on all the time. So,
well, Kathy, I don't want to get too far off the reservation here, Kathy. But again, there's no allegation that Speaker Johnson's done anything untoward. I'm just curious why he's trying to convince all the rest of us that the Christian platform is to support late-term abortion and fund transgender propaganda.
Yeah, well, see, that's what he's trying to do.
I've
met people like this all throughout my life, and, you know, until I was like 30, they used to really confuse me and snow me. And then by the time I was 45, I started waking up, and I'm 61 now and mad. I know how my grandmother got to where she was, you know?
It's very upsetting, and I get it. And again, when you raise questions, then all of a sudden the wagons get circled and you become the bad guy for simply pointing out some pretty conflicted statements and positions coming out of the Speaker's office. Kathy, appreciate that call. All right, hang tight. We're going to go to the phones here. Got to take a break first. We've got Kathy in Oregon coming up. Lines open, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And look, if you think I'm off base on this, I want to hear from you as well. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right. All right, good to have you with us again, everybody. By the way, thank you. The book is still doing great. Taping Bill O'Reilly's TV show later today, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Head over to one of two places. Either go to Amazon or go to ToddStarnes.com and pick yourself up a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? So there we go. All right, let's get back to the phones here. Kathy in Oregon, listening to us on the great KYKN. Hi, Kathy. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. I'm doing fine.
All right.
I have two quick things, and I hope I say this correctly so I don't sound too stupid. But first of all, about, you know, why is he voting for these things, these crazy, weird things, or allowing them to go through? I have a hard time when a politician starts talking about how religious they are and how much they love God. Because really, participating in all that mess without lying, I think, is impossible. And the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So I don't like it when politicians start telling me how religious and love God they are. Anyway, the second thing was, when you said you couldn't get him on your show because of your questions, what about getting someone like Newt Gingrich to come on your show and maybe describe some of the pressure that he's under? And maybe
let me say this. Speaker Newt's been on the show a number of times in the past, and I know that the speaker's been out there, you know, and he's been somewhat defending Mike Johnson, but I think it's really night and day difference, because Speaker Newt actually had a much larger majority and he was able to get things done, but he was a bulldog. And I just kind of get the impression that Mike Johnson is, you know, a chihuahua.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But I was just thinking that maybe Newt could shine some light on some of the things that he might be facing, like the tactics of the Democrats and stuff.
Well, there's a lot of concern out there, Kathy. And I appreciate your call. There is a lot of concern out there that the Republicans may be trying to sabotage Donald Trump's presidential run. And I'm not willing to go there yet. Some of you may already be there, but there are a lot of people in the MAGA universe that truly believe this is all a setup, and that the point here is to cause so much chaos in the House chamber that it would upend whatever is happening on the presidential side. Now, some of you may buy into that, and if you're looking at this situation from a specific angle, yeah, I could see it, but I don't know. Maybe that's the issue here. But whatever is going down is not helpful to Donald Trump at all. And that's why Trump is saying, look, guys, stick with Johnson. Let's just get through this. And that may be, and that I just don't see who else is going to be able to step up and be the speaker. I don't see that. And it's sure not going to be Matt Gaetz, and it's not going to be Marjorie Taylor Greene. All right, got to take a break here. We're going to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And man, folks, I am so excited about our new sponsors. And look, here's how this works. We're not one of the big, huge conglomerate, you know, iHeart or Cumulus talk shows. So we have to rely on our grassroots audience to really help us out. And you guys, you kick butt. I'm going to tell you, you do very well. And I really do hope that when you hear the sponsors that are responsible for this program, that you give them a helping hand, and they have some great, great products, you know, whether it's, you know, Mike Lindell or Patriot Mobile. AMAC is our brand new sponsor. And by the way, AMAC is not just for seasoned folk. It's for young people, too. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're allowed to join AMAC, and they have a special website. I'm not going to tell you all about it. Just go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns. And you'll find all the information there. But they've got a great Todd Stern Show deal. You can become a 4-year member for just $30. That's a pretty darn good deal. So again, amac.us/starns. And be sure to thank him for supporting the Todd Stern's Radio Show. All right. A lot of you folks wanting to weigh in on this. Let's go to Dawn in North Carolina, WSIC. And Dawn, we're excited. We're booking our tickets. We're coming to your town very soon. Hello, Dawn.
Yes, it's the Moorhead City WTKF.
Oh, WTKF. I am too. Well, we're coming to your town too, Dawn. My apologies. All right. That's a long ways away.
Okay. Right.
What's on your mind, Dawn?
Well, I kind of get stirred up when I hear things about that people are doing against the Bible. And one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill. And if you're in a court of justice and you're being charged with murder and someone has helped you or give you the money for it, you'll be an accomplice, right?
Okay.
Okay, there's scriptures in Psalms that said, blessed are they that keep judgment, and that he that doeth righteousness all the time. There's another verse in that same psalm that says, he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Many times we want things that maybe God knows it isn't good for us, and we keep begging and trying to get closer and closer to it.
So how does this apply to Speaker Johnson here, Dawn?
If he's back in abortion.
Well, he will say that he is radically pro-life, but he turned around and pushed that legislation through. Remember the spending bill, Dawn, that he would not allow the lawmakers the 72 hours to read through it. And he forced that through, even though there was funding for late-term abortions.
That's an accomplice, isn't it?
That's yes, ma'am, it is. Yes, ma'am, it is, to your point. Dawn, I appreciate that call, and thank you for that. We love our friends over at The Talk Station. Great place, good people, great food, too, over on the coast. Let's go to Georgia, WDUN. St. Francis, oh, we're coming to Gainesville, St. Francis. I'm very excited about this.
Oh, I'm getting excited too, Reverend Starnes. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, between the Reverend and the Saint, we could have church.
It might start a revival here in Gainesville. They'll be falling out in the street.
Well, that's what happened down in Pascagoula. Well, that was a squirrel. Sorry, my apologies. All right, St. Francis, go ahead.
All right, here's my take on this issue with the Speaker of the House, Mr. Johnson. I see Mr. Johnson as King Saul, and King Saul went to a certain person for advice called the Witch of Endor. And the Witch of Endor is Hossein Jeffries.
Oh, I see. All right.
The minority leader for advice. And so when you go to an evil person for advice, you're going to get evil advice. And so to me, that's the problem. He's seeking advice from people that he shouldn't be seeking advice from. And the bad thing is he's taking the advice. So that's my theological insight for the day.
Well, you know, that is some pretty good insight, St. Francis. And my concern, though, is that a lot of the there was a story out of Alabama. I'll have to find this. There's a story out of Alabama where a lawmaker, a Republican lawmaker, says that that if the people in the MAGA politicians are not careful, that the conservative Christians will turn on them. In other words, all you conservative Christians out there have to worship at the feet of Mike Johnson. And I just have a huge problem with that.
Well, I do too in some regard, but what are the options? That's the problem. We have no options.
No, I completely hear you on that. And I don't think now is the time to vacate the chair. There's really no good option and there's no plan. And again, that's the problem with MTG, is that she's not offering a plan of action. They didn't have a plan when they ousted Kevin McCarthy in the first place.
Well, she's getting a lot of TV time.
This is true. Getting a lot,
And she did back Mr. McCarthy. Now you figure that one out.
Yeah, I can't figure that out. Maybe if I was a drinking man, it would all make sense, St. Francis.
Well, maybe you need to go talk to the Witch of Endor and get some advice.
Or the Episcopalian preacher. Get some of that communion wine. High octane, St. Francis. All right. St. Francis, thank you for the call. Yes, we're going to be announcing our Gainesville, and it's coming up at about, well, it's very soon. I will leave it at that. Also, on the docket, WSIC, we're going to be doing an event there, and that's where Charles is hanging out today. Charles, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, and I hope to meet you when you're here at WSIC. Love to meet you. But, Todd, my question and what I want to say about Speaker Johnson is this. Todd, I just think that Speaker Johnson is just a weak man. I'm not questioning his Christianity.
Oh, all right. Charles, give us a call back, and I want you to finish your thought. In the meantime, let's go to James listening to us on KWAM. All right, James, what's your take on Speaker Johnson?
Yeah, well, I don't go along with Speaker Johnson. I think he's just like the gentleman said, he's just a weak guy. And religion, and not, I'm not into Christianity, nor Muslim, nor Judaism, but it's supposed to be an action type thing. It ain't like what you, my grandmama used to say, don't worry about what nobody said, just watch what they do. So if you're watching this speaker, and you watch it, all the other speakers that was there, that's why the Republican Party is like in a stalemate. It can't make nothing happen. It has to compromise with the enemy. So it doesn't matter if you got a speaker or not. So I think they need some rabble-rousing going on. All this goody-goody two-shoe crap. This has caused the Republicans to do zero. And I don't understand why even Mr. Trump went along with it. He should have put him in a headlock and said, it don't matter. Don't go along with the foolishness. And that's what the Republican MAGA is supposed to be for, to challenge the foolishness. How you going to challenge something if you're going along with it? And I like Chip Roy. I like a lot of them guys. But basically, it may be true that these people have come together and said, we don't want Trump.
Well, we're going to be talking to Congressman Roy a little bit later on in the show, James, and so we'll get some answers from him on that. Also coming up, Andrew Clyde, the congressman from Georgia, so he'll be joining us at the top of the next hour. So these are valid concerns you have, and you're right. MAGA people want fighters. We don't want squish. We want fighters, and that's what this is all about, James. I got to run. We're super late for a break. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting tired of all the woke stuff out there on TV, Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu? Well, if you are, I've got a great solution. Newsmax Plus, the fastest growing streaming service in America. Newsmax Plus, you're going to be able to get all the Newsmax channels plus Newsmax 2. You'll be able to watch my Newsmax TV show, 5 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday. Also, you're going to be able to watch Rob Schmidt, Greg Kelly, Eric Bolling, along with our good buddy Mike Huckabee. President Trump loves Newsmax. You want to know why? Because we cover all of his rallies live. We never censor President Trump like the other networks do. So you can start a free trial today. That's right. Free trial will cost you absolutely nothing to start. We only have that offer for Todd Stern Show listeners. So go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register right now. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Download the app and start watching today. Coming up, by the way, we're getting your shout-outs, and we'll get those in the mix in the next hour. You say, what are you talking about, Todd? Well, if you download the app, you can actually record a message, and we will play those over the air. So you say, well, how do I do that? Very simple. Go to kwamradio.com, kwamradio.com, and click on the app, and you'll be able to download it. It takes all of like 10 seconds. And you'll be able to send us not only a shout out, but you'll also be able to listen to the program free of charge. All right. 901-260-5926, our number. I want to go right back to Charles. We had a little phone issue there. Charles, you were talking about Speaker Mike Johnson.
Yeah, Todd. I think the problem with Speaker Johnson is just that he is a weak man. I don't question his Christianity, but he's just weak. And Tucker Carlson was talking about that in a podcast interview with Joe Rogan a few days ago, saying that, you know, evil will find a place to reside in weak people.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, folks, we're just having some sort of a phone issue. We are working on it. And it's AT&T. What are we going to do? By the way, I think we have this audio. This is President Trump. He was speaking to John Frederickson. This was yesterday evening, and he was asked about Mike Johnson. Now let's listen.
So, Mr. President, tough thing here. Much of our MAGA base is upset with Speaker Mike Johnson. As you know, a couple of them have called for his ouster now. We've got three congressmen calling for him to be replaced in the Republican side. But you're standing with him, and you've stood with him firmly. How do you square this divide now between MAGA and Mike Johnson with your support of him and our base?
Well, look, we have a majority of one, okay? So it's not like he can go and do whatever he wants to do. I think he's a very good person. You know, he stood very strongly with me on the NATO when I said that NATO has to pay up, and they have to pay up soon and fast, and he has stood strongly on that. He agrees with that. He also got some of the money in the form of a loan, quite a bit of the money in the form of a loan, and he, you know, felt on that. But it's a tough situation when you have one. I think he's a very good man. I think he's trying very hard. And again, we've got to have a big election. We've got to elect some people in Congress, much more than we have right now. And we have to elect some good senators, get rid of some of the ones we have now, like Romney and others. And we have to have a big day, and we have to win the presidency. If we don't win the presidency, our country, I'm telling you, I think our country could be finished.
So there you go. So in President Trump's very transactional mind here, what the president is saying is we got bigger fish to fry. And so let's leave this be. Trump will fix whatever needs to be fixed. I will say this. If the Republicans are able to win back the House, I don't think Mike Johnson will be the next Speaker of the House. I don't see that happening. But we will see. So Trump is saying, don't get sidetracked here. Let's focus on the big picture. So, and I'm with the president on that. The president is saying what he has to say. And if the president were to come out and say, well, yeah, I think Mike Johnson, as Charles just, I think, really nailed it, that Speaker Johnson is a weak man in the sense that he wants to please people. He doesn't want people to be upset with him. That's why he's apologizing to President Biden for rolling his eyes. You can't make it up. All right. This story coming out of New York City. By the way, did you see the riots last night? That was insane. So you've got all these they're really not pro-Hamas. We have these people that are occupying Columbia and NYU and MIT and Yale. These people are Hamas. They are Hamas. And so the NYPD went in. NYU said, hey, look, we got to have some help over here. So NYPD said, no problem. We got your back. So they went in there, and I mean, they tore those kids up last night. And I say, good for them. Good for the NYPD. And so a lot of people got arrested. My question is, are they still in jail? That's the bigger question. So you're going to arrest all these people. If you let them out, they're going to go right back over to NYU and start defecating in the sidewalk and setting up tents. So these protests continue. Biden, meanwhile, and I want you to understand this. So after the protest last night, when the cops came in, the mob then got flares, and they lit these flares like tiki torches, and they're marching to NYPD headquarters, where Tom Selleck is a police commissioner. Oh, that's Blue Bloods. Anyway, they marched to that place, 1 PP. It was a scene right out of Charlottesville when you had these white supremacist morons marching around with tiki torches, scaring the living daylights out of people. That's exactly what happened last night. But you know what did not happen? Nobody's accusing Joe Biden of condoning anti-Semitism. Nobody. And I want you to hear what Joe Biden had to say when he was asked about this. It's very difficult to understand the mumbler, but I will interpret for you. Cut number three.
Condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
In other words, all right, we're done with that. In other words, Joe Biden says there's very fine people on both sides. That's what Joe Biden is saying. So why isn't he catching holy you-know-what over this? That's what well, of course we know the reason why. That was a rhetorical question, but we know why. And the reality is that the reason why the White House will not do anything, first of all, they've got a lot of anti-Semites working at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, that's the reality. But number two, they're terrified of losing the Muslim base of the party. That's what they're more terrified about. So they've done some political calculation, and their calculation is, and this is a pretty solid calculation, that the Jews are going to vote Democrat no matter what. Even if you... And I think this may be a bad calculation this go around, because I think the Jews are waking up and realizing the Democrats don't like them. I mean, it's just like in Chicago's South Side, the voters there are finally waking up and realizing Well, wait a second. These Democrats aren't looking out for us anymore. It's true. They're not. All right. Got to take a break. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
You know, Todd, I sound like a parrot, and I keep repeating this over and over and over, and I've said it on your show. Getting Mike Johnson out of there isn't going to do anything. You can put another one in there. It's still going to be the same. Nothing's going to change. The only way we're going to find out if there's truly going to be change is if we can get this president out of office and get Trump back in there and then see how he works with Trump. Because if he turns out to, Johnson turns out to be another Nancy Pelosi, we're going to have problems.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's Mark sending us a shout out, by the way, from the Villages in Florida, America's friendliest hometown. And by the way, you can do that if you download our app. We have a shout out function. You can leave us a message and we'll play that. And we've got a few others coming your way in just a little while. Welcome to the big show, everybody. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Congressman Andrew Clyde from District 9 in Georgia joins us. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Well, great to be with you, Todd, as always.
You know, I'm curious, Congressman, to get your take on Speaker Johnson. I just don't get it. And we the last hour of the show filled with people calling in, really frustrated over the speaker. And it seems as though now his supporters are cloaking him with his Christianity. So now if you attack Mike Johnson, you're attacking Jesus Christ.
Well, I'll tell you, I share their frustration. I don't know this 2024 Mike Johnson. He's not the same guy that I saw in 2023. At least that's my opinion. And, you know, I think your last caller made comment about how when we change the presidency, we'll see how he works with Speaker Johnson. I don't think there's going to be a Speaker Johnson in 2025, at least not from what I have seen and from what I currently believe is going to happen. Now, we have a huge issue here. And it seems that he has promoted more Democrat policies than he has Republican policies. And we see that in the votes. We see that in the rule votes. We see that in the votes on the floor, where more Democrats are voting for a bill than Republicans. And that's simply not why we have a Republican majority. So there's a huge problem here, and we have to fix it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, and I have no doubt that it will be fixed. And I understand President Trump's position. I know he came out last night and said, you know, hey, look, he's you know, he's okay or whatever. But I think the president's point is we got bigger fish to fry.
Well, you know, Todd, when you saw what happened this past week, for months and months, over a year, we have been preaching border security. Border is the hill to die on. Border security. No Ukraine aid without border security. I'm sorry. And then this week we divorced the two. And here we do it through smoke and mirrors when we have three separate bills for you know, Gaza and Israel aid, and then Taiwan, and then Ukraine aid. And then we vote on a border bill as well. I'm sorry, those four are not going together. It's just the foreign aids going together to be packaged with the one bit of leverage that we have, which is the Ukraine aid bill, because Biden and Schumer want that. Okay, but yet the border bill is going to do nothing. It's not even going to go to the Senate because we put it on suspension. It didn't pass. And so therefore, we have given up our leverage, and we have told the American people we care about Ukraine's borders more than we do about Americans' borders. That's what the speaker just did. And that's wrong.
Well, it is. And I can hear the frustration in your voice. You know, again, I think the big issue is what the Senate will do. So Mike Lee said that there is still an opportunity for the Republicans in the Senate to stop this. Is that true?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, if we can have 40 one Republican stand against this particular bill, then it can be stopped. We can do it. I mean, the Republicans in the Senate can actually do this, but I hate to have to rely on the Senate. You know, we have the majority in the House. We should be doing this in the House and putting our borders first, putting America first, and we're not. This package that we passed this last week was an America last package and should not have been supported by any Republicans.
So Real Clear Politics had an interesting story out, a backstory about Mike Johnson, who is now really getting high praise from a lot of Democrats, a lot of people in the mainstream media now. And they tell the story that, you know, going back to the State of the Union address, when Mike Johnson rolled his eyes at some of the things that the president was saying. Now we know that several months later at an event, Mike Johnson went over and actually apologized to President Biden for rolling his eyes. What does that tell you? Does that give you sort of a glimpse into to how this guy works?
Well, I had not heard that, Todd. And honestly, that actually is very concerning to me, because we need to be standing for Republican principles here and not be yielding to the Democrats. But that's what we see time and time again. And then we see moderate Republicans then reinforcing what Speaker Johnson is doing. And that's all bad news for conservatives. Mm. You know, Mike Johnson has told me, hey, I start where you start. Well, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And right now, he is not finishing with conservatives whatsoever. He is finishing with liberal Democrats and rhinos.
Congressman Andrew Clyde on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, I know that you've been watching all of this play out on our university campuses. There is grave concern this will be spreading to other campuses, this raging anti-Semitism. First, I just want to get your reaction to what we've seen over the past couple of days.
Well, I think the true colors are being shown here of these universities. You have deep anti-Semitism in these universities. The liberal left that seems to love the Palestinians and love the terrorists, all of that is coming forth. Finally, we're actually seeing who these people really are. And I agree with you. I think it's going to go across, you know, many of the very, very left wing and liberal universities in our country. And they will be exposed for who they truly are. But Biden is really trying to ride the fence here. He's trying to appease them, and he's trying to appease, you know, the Jewish side of it and condemn the anti-Semitism while actually justifying what they're doing. No, you can't do that. You can't be on one side or the other. I mean, you have to be on one side or the other. You can't be on both here like what Biden's doing.
Yeah, I'm with you. But the fact that so many, even in Congress, refuse to condemn this, and I'm wondering, what power does Congress have, the House, to address this? Can you guys pull funding from these colleges, any taxpayer funding?
Oh, yes, we certainly can. We can do that through the appropriations process, and we did. We pulled a ton of money, billions upon billions of dollars we pulled out of the education department's budget through the appropriation process in the House. We did that in the House, and yet indeed what happened, it got stripped. Those amendments got stripped in the Senate, and that will happen again unless the Speaker of the House allows some of us who are on the Appropriations Committee, who firmly believe in that, to be part of the negotiation process, and he does not yield, but I have not seen that strength in the Speaker whatsoever.
Well, that's just unacceptable. But again, not surprising. Still yet another reason for folks listening to us to call your elected leaders and say, hey, look, we need you to start dealing with this. Let's shut off the funding mechanisms to these anti-Semitic colleges and universities, Congressman.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't see that. Number one, the Department of Education is not a federal responsibility to begin with. It should be eliminated, completely eliminated. For decades now, it has funded left liberal extremism, and you're seeing that come out in these colleges and universities right now with all the anti-Semitism. I cannot believe that people actually are promoting Hamas, you know, from the river to the sea. And all of those anti-Semitic quotations that they are championing, it is despicable, and we should never allow that sort of thing, and especially fund it with federal dollars.
Mm. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. I greatly appreciate your candor today. And again, I have to imagine, and real quick, I am curious about this before we let you go. Are you getting any calls from your constituents about Speaker Johnson?
Yes, we are getting concerned calls from Georgia's 9th District about Speaker Johnson. I get calls personally, I mean, literally text messages from folks going, what on earth is going on here? You know, and like I said earlier, I don't know who this current Speaker Johnson is. Mm. It's not the guy that from 2023 and 2022. I don't know what happened, and I don't know how this happens, but it seems to. And we got a problem, and it has to be corrected. And I tell you what, when we take the presidency and we keep the House, we're going to have a different conversation come after the election as to who the new speaker is going to be, and it's not going to be Mr. Johnson.
All right. There you have it, folks. Congressman Andrew Clyde. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Wow. There you go. Fired up. And I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad. It's not me after all, ladies and gentlemen. It's not me. I knew it. All right. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
So, Todd, I think you need to ask Franklin Graham why he would support Mike Johnson when Mike Johnson supported the funding for the lesbian gay garden parties in the White House and also wanted to vote for abortion. So maybe you should ask him those questions.
All right. Well, look, I mean, it's these are all fair questions. And I know that there will be some sort of a nuance out there. But when we've got a Republican Speaker of the House, I expect for them to act like Republicans. And look, I don't want to defend Kevin McCarthy here, but at least with McCarthy, you knew what you were getting. With Johnson, he's a little sneaky, this guy. But I do like the analogy. I think he is like a little chihuahua, one of those metrosexual, you know, purse dogs. You can just stuff him in your purse. Oh, boy. Ilhan Omar's daughter, who, by the way, got kicked out of school and now she's allegedly homeless, says that they used chemical weapons. The police used chemical weapons on her during a recent protest. You know, she's a Jew hater. The apple did not fall far from that tree. Anyway, it turns out it was a chemical weapon, but it wasn't quite what you thought it was. Cut 11.
Do you feel that you are being targeted because of the fact that it is in solidarity with Palestinians and against what Israel is doing to Palestinians?
Oh, this is 100% targeted. Every single protest that we have, there's a group of counter-protesters that bring all of their items, their flags and things like that, and they're not seen as having unsanctioned protests or really receive the kind of disciplinary warnings that many of our fellow organizers receive just for being seen at these protests. And so there is definitely some hypocrisy here, especially you can kind of see it with the students that sprayed us with the chemical weapons and the fact that there's no public information as to what happened to them, but rather the university is actively discussing what is happening to the students here and making it a whole public spectacle rather than when we haven't done anything to physically harm students, whereas those that sprayed those chemical weapons physically harmed students.
So it was basically fart gas, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it was. It's an issue that can be remedied with a bottle of Febreze, so to speak. Jeez, aloo. So here's my question, though. How bad is the daughter? How bad is Ilhan Omar's offspring that she won't even allow her daughter to live in the same home, right? I mean, the daughter says that she's homeless now after she's been victimized by, what is she alleging, war crimes now, that the NYPD committed war crimes by hosing her down with fart gas? Is that what this is all about? I'm just curious. Oh, by the way, Alec Baldwin, this is crazy. So they're even going after poor Alec Baldwin. Remember that guy? He's not going to win any Father of the Year awards. Remember what he told his daughter? You're a pig. That's what he told his kid. Pretty terrible. So anyway, you got Alec Baldwin, and the guy was just trying to, he was minding his own business, and then you got the Jew haters coming up, and I don't think Alec Baldwin's Jewish, is he? He may be Presbyterian. I don't know. Cut 14.
Alec, can you please stay free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec, just say free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Israel, Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Oh, so that sound is Alec Baldwin knocking the cramp out of the camera. Not the woman, but the camera. So may I just say something about this? What took you so long? Right? The guy's clearly a pretty patient guy because I'm not too sure I would have been that patient. But you see what's happening now? You have members of Hamas now occupying university campuses. They're harassing people in public. And by the way, we're monitoring it here in Memphis because we got a mess of them here. We're infested with the Hamas people here in Memphis, Tennessee. I will say this, in the event, and you don't know what these Hamas people are going to do. I mean, they're radical Islamic extremists. That's what they are. And they're targeting people. I want you to hear this chant. This was at Columbia University. Cut 10.
Push them.
Start to push them.
Out of the camp.
Out of the camp.
One step forward.
One step forward.
That you please respect.
That you please respect.
Our privacy.
Our privacy.
And our community guidelines.
And our community guidelines.
Which you have so far disrespected.
Which you have so far disrespected.
And leave our camp.
And leave our camp.
One step forward.
One step forward.
All right. Why do they all sound like that? Have you noticed that? It's just such an annoying voice. Hello, you're invading. You Zionists, you're invading our private space, our community. Somebody said, is that guy gay? I don't know, but I don't think any self-respecting gay person would date somebody like that. I'm just saying, don't insult the gays. Don't go down that path. So anyway, it's really tragic, but I will say this. There is a lot of concern about these people turning violent, which they are. There's a report out of California in Humboldt at the university there, but the cops are playing hardball with those people. All that to say, I think Memphis, Tennessee may be one of the safest places in the event there is some sort of an Islamic Hamas terrorist attack, because we have more barbecue joints per capita than any other place in America. They won't go anywhere near the barbecue. I'm just saying, it's a natural defense mechanism. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. No, they just don't eat pork. What do you want me to say? All right, we'll be right back. All right. Well, coming up next week, back out on the road, we're going to be in Houston, Texas at Houston Christian University. And our good friends over at Patriot Talk Radio, our great affiliate in Houston, hosting a big book celebration, book signing. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And if you want information, all you need to do is go to the Patriot Talk. It's PatriotTalk920.com. That's PatriotTalk920.com. And you'll be able to get all the information there. All right. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have a friend of the program, and it's been a long time. He's got a brand new book coming out on May 28th, which is now available for pre-order. It's called The Secret of Directional Investing, Making Money Amidst the Red-Blue Rumble. Jim Pinkerton joins us. Jim, it's been a long time.
Yes, Todd, thanks for having me back.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Congratulations on the new book. And again, folks, we've got a link to it on our live show blog. So I think that's I'm really intrigued here because people are freaking out over Bidenomics. Are you telling me that there's a way to make money in the midst of all this economic chaos out there?
Well, for example, Walt Disney is down 40% in the last 3 years. So anybody who shorted Disney was making money. You can make just as much money on a stock going down as going up. And, I mean, plenty of stocks are going up. The market overall is up, mostly driven by, you know, the tech companies. But to see the point of the book on direction is if you can see the direction that the economy or a sector of the economy is going, you can make money on it. And so, for example, if you could see that Disney was having trouble on, you know, woke movies and so on, the stocks can go down. And at the same time, if you can see that, you know, Angel Studios, which made the movie The Sound of Freedom and Cabrini and others, is doing well, and it's not publicly traded, but you can begin to see how, you know, just seeing which companies are correctly reading the consumer marketplace is a key to spotting the trend and making the money as a result.
Jim Pinkerton is with us, The Secret of Directional Investing, the new book, one of the smartest guys I know, and it's all about understanding the trends, as you pointed out, and spotting the trends. So you mentioned Disney. What advice are you giving to people, or what should people be paying attention to as we move through this crazy economic time?
Well, I'll give you another example, and that is, for all of the $20 trillion that we spent on green energy, Exxon, you know, the oil company, and it was everybody thought, oh, they're retro. What do they know? They're just, you know, about to be phased out. Exxon is booming. Oil prices are up. Exxon is booming. And I think the compromise that's going to come on energy when they realize that you can't run an economy on windmills will be carbon fuels coupled with carbon capture. So I think, you know, companies in the carbon capture space, and there are hundreds of them now, are going to do very well if people realize that, you know, to have a modern economy, we still need, you know, oil and gasoline and diesel. And, you know, and I think, frankly, this is a case where the subtitle of the book is The Red-Blue Rumble. You know, states like Tennessee are just saying, look, we're just not going to get steamrollered by California on making us take electric vehicles here, and that'll be good news for Exxon.
Well, I love that, and again, folks, the book, the reviews are pretty amazing. One reviewer says it's really an entertaining mix of pop culture, history, technology, and public policy mayhem. That's quite the sentence.
Well, thanks, Todd. I mean, you know, since you and I first met each other at Fox News back in, you know, I can't remember how long ago, 20 years ago or so, you know, we both have been sort of immersed in, you know, thanks to Fox, pop culture, economics, you know, politics, all the same. And you start to realize, again, one of the reasons why Tennessee is doing so well is because they have no state income tax, right? They've become sort of a haven. They're not as well known as, you know, California and Florida. But you guys are getting your share of, you know, fat cats and so on who are moving there. And that's a political choice that the state leadership has made. I mean, and the news isn't all good for Tennessee in terms of crime in Memphis and Nashville and so on. So there are points to be made about what makes for a nice place for a business, for an investor, for a resident, for a citizen to live in, and the states that are paying close attention to that are doing better than the ones that aren't.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, this program broadcast to 160 cities across the nation, and we tell people they're more than welcome to come here to Tennessee, my home state. Just leave your politics back home. We don't need that here. Oh, my goodness.
The book starts out with this, a chapter about Nevada. Now, Nevada is not everybody's cup of tea. But in 1931, when they legalized gambling, the price of real estate on what was then Los Angeles Highway was $75 an acre. Now that's, now that 90 years later, that's the Strip, and it's $33 million. So, you know, you can make choices. You can, every state has to decide these things. I think one of the major points of the book is the completely James Madison lesson about states' rights and federalism. Let's have, you know, states being the main arbiter of their destiny. And so, you know, Nevada can go one way and Tennessee can go another. But the choice and the opportunity there for the citizen, for the investor, not only as a resident and put your money there too, what makes this country great. Is, you know, look, there are people who firmly believe in transgenderism and marijuana and heroin and everything, and they can live someplace, and that's actually another investment trend too. If you want to be in the drug rehab business, you're probably better off in Oregon than you are in Alabama.
Well, yeah, this is a true point. All right, folks, you got to get a copy of our good friend Jim Pinkerton's new book. You read his columns. You've heard and seen his political his analysis on Fox and many other places. And now you can get a copy of his new book, pre-order a copy, The Secret of Directional Investing, Making Money Amidst the Red Blue Rumble. Jim, we got to leave it there. Congratulations. Good hearing from you, friend.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks.
All right. There you go, folks. Jim Pinkerton, one of the regulars over on Fox back in the day. Is Jim still there? I should have asked him if he was still at Fox. But, you know, so many of us have left. But anyway, it's a good book, and we're excited that Jim has that coming out. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And what a day. So I have a question for you. When you were in grade school, and this may be for listeners of a certain age, when you were in grade school, did you get a visit from the Gideons? The Gideons International. So this is a group of Christian businessmen, Christian business professionals, guys and gals, and they go around. It's all volunteer, and they're the ones that are putting the Bibles in your hotel room. So if you've ever stayed down at the Best Western and you open up the little drawer there, you'll see a Bible, a hardback Bible, and you'll see the little Gideon's logo emblazoned on the front. Anyway, and then when you're in school, you get the Gideon's Bible. They'll come to the classroom and they will give you a Bible. And I remember I was maybe what, in fourth grade at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, Mississippi. And I remember sitting there. I was a little urchin, a hellion, until I got that Bible. And it was a small little, it was like a pocket Bible. And I believe it had the New Testament, and I think it had the Psalms and the Proverbs. Maybe Lamentations? No Lamentations. I'm just curious. Dylan, when you were in grade school, did you ever get a visit from the Gideons?
Oh yeah, they would stand at the door.
Really?
Yeah, and hand out the little Bibles.
Really? So they give you the Bible, and they're very nice. Did they try to proselytize you?
No, they were very nice.
All right,
I said hi. Here you go. Have a good day.
Hello, child. You need this.
Yes.
Read the Bible. So I think it's a good thing, right? I think we all turned out okay. No school shootings. My generation, we didn't have the school shootings, right? Our problem was, what was our problem? Parachute pants, just other bad fashion choices. We had a lot of big hair back in the 80s. So I was in school in the 70s and into the 80s. So disco, well, I don't know, disco's kind of cool now. But back in the 80s, you know, we thought disco was not cool. You know, we were all about Cyndi Lauper and, you know, Madonna back when she looked normal and all of that, you know. So Boy George was kind of weird, even at a young age. I knew something was not right there. So anyway, all that to say, the Gideons came and they give you these Bibles. And did you ever have a problem? Anybody have a problem with that? because there is a situation in Butler County, Kansas. And the Wichita Eagle is the local newspaper there. They my understanding is they are as liberal as the day is long. And hardly anybody subscribes to this thing. And so anyway, and I'll get to the reason why I mentioned the newspaper in a moment. So a mother got very upset. And the Gideon showed up. And I love how the school did this. This was a fifth grade class. And the school sent a letter home to parents or a note and said, hey, look, Gideons are coming. You have to have a permission slip if you want to get a Bible. I think that's a pretty sensible thing. So anyway, the child brought home the permission slip. If you wish to opt your child out, please sign this form and return it to your child's teacher. So anyway, the woman got all upset. She was very huffy about it. And what's funny is that she's a member of a church there in Wichita, Christ Church. And she said, we are, and I'm reading from the Wichita Eagle, we are a Christian family. And we go to church every Sunday. My kids have Bibles. Okay, so what's the problem here, lady? But I didn't put my children in public schools to have them be proselytized to. We don't know what anybody's religion is in that school, and violating another child's civil rights is absolutely insane to me. All right, calm down, lady. No need to pitch a hissy fit here. That a school district would even entertain this, I believe, based on what I read, that it's illegal for them to come to the school and be on school grounds, especially during instructional time. All right, lady, calm yourself. Jeez, Lou. Anyway, she reached out to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, this so-called Christian chick. And I'm not naming the name here. I don't want to give the woman any attention. Clearly, she is one of these people that craves the attention. I'm a Christian, but I rebuke you for passing out a Bible. How dare you? How dare you give a child a Bible? All right, calm yourself, woman. So anyway, she reaches out to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a bunch of atheists. And now they're threatening to whatever, whatever. So the newspaper... And who is the author? The author of this piece is Dion Leffler. And little Dion Leffler reaches out. He's like he's like ratting the school out. So he's contacting the Freedom From Religion Foundation. What are y'all going to do about it? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to sue the school? Mm-hmm. What you going to do? This is how these newspapers operate. They're very bad people. Jeez, Lou. So anyway, the author says, and this is really snarky. Oh, the guy goes, and so it's funny. He's setting us up because he says that, you know, I'm a religious person. Mom was a Catholic. Dad was a Baptist. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he says, I can't help but think conservative Christians would switch sides pretty fast if someone showed up at their children's elementary school with free copies of the Quran for the kids. Okay. We are a Christian nation, ladies and gentlemen. We are one nation under God, not Allah. Our children, by the way, and no offense to the Religion of Peace crowd, but there are a lot of people on in that religion. And I know they say that they're just radicals. So I'll just say this. A lot of radicals in your denomination, your religion, are blowing things up or flying jetliners into buildings or attacking people at peace concerts in Israel. Might want to deal with that. But, yeah, you're going to go after the Christians. And that's what this newspaper is doing. They're going after the Christians. And I got a problem with that. I will say this, when the decision was made, and I don't know when the decision was made, to metaphorically kick God out of the school, all hell broke loose in this country. And I will say, in all fairness, it wasn't just school, but many families have kicked God out of their houses. And so that's kind of led to all this chaos as well. But I find it very interesting. When you go back in history, I was at an event last night. And It was really informative. I got to get the name of this group. They have just formed in the Memphis area, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to, I'll go and check it out and see what this is all about. There was a gathering in Germantown, and the whole point of this was to educate people about the wokeness that has infected the public school system. And it was fascinating, all this information. But one of the things that they pointed out, which I thought was interesting, is why public education started in the first place. Sorry, I was looking for this information. I should have had it handy, but I did not. The Campaign for Liberty. And they brought in a lady from the Nashville area. Her name is Andrea Gomez, and she was really did a great job. And she was explaining how even Tennessee schools are grooming and corrupting children pre-K through college. And she covered the woke agenda, how it's funded, how we can protect our kids, talking about the gender identity, social justice issues, and how the local schools, even in Tennessee, are hiding this from the children or from the parents. And so anyway, it was fascinating. Had a good crowd there last night. Anyway, the point of this is that public education in America started for the sole purpose of teaching children how to read the Bible. And churches were responsible for educating children. And I thought that was fascinating because now we live in a society where Christians are not even welcome to walk into a public school and teach. I mean, that's really where we are in this country right now. So all that to say, I think we need more Gideons going out there and giving children Bibles. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. And a lot of my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, one of the reasons I wrote it, and for those of you who have read it, you know this already, but we put a lot of stories in the book because I want to equip you with the evidence. So when you go to your local school and they say, we don't have problems here. There are no problems in American public education. You can pull out the book and you can say, well, here's the evidence that there is a problem, that this is happening, and it's happening in big cities and small cities. So Gideons, you hang in there and you keep doing what you're doing. Keep giving the children the Bibles, and let's see what happens. We could have a revival breakout in America. All right, folks, stick around. We've got more coming up next. Also, Congressman Chip Roy on the way.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Jive.
No, speak out loud.
Jive, we are willing to take you to the math lawn.
No, I am a professor here.
We are columnists. We have a right.
Whoa, everybody quiet. I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support Hamas on campus and me, a professor, not go on campus. Let me in now.
Let us in.
No.
All right. Well, that's what it sounded like outside the gates of Columbia University earlier this morning when a Jewish professor was denied access. Meanwhile, the campus has literally been overrun by pro-Hamas goons. It is unbelievable. We have a lot of video over at toddstarnes.com for you to check out. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program, Hour 3 of the Big Show. And we have got a lot going on this hour. Write this number down if you want to call in, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend. He is the president and chief executive officer of the National Religious Broadcasters, Troy Miller. Troy, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Good to be with you. Thank you.
So you heard a little bit of the chaos out there outside of the gates at Columbia, and I wanted to get your reaction to what's happening to these Jewish kids at university campuses across the country right now.
Well, first of all, Todd, it's pathetic and it's disgusting and it's evil. And it's really a result of what these schools have been indoctrinating these kids on. And now it's coming back to haunt them. This poor professor who just trying to get onto the campus and get to his class. And that is being harassed by anti-Semitic students. As a matter of fact, just students calling for his, you know, death. This is a problem across camp, not just Columbia, across campuses across the country. They're starting to reap what they have sown into these kids, that there's only kind of two ideas in the world. You're either the oppressor or you're the oppressed. You are the victimizer or the victim, and somehow Israel has become the victimizer or the oppressor in this, and this has taken off across campuses. And there was a video I think you saw the other night where a student tried to get onto the campus, and these protesters made a wall, linked their arms, and wouldn't let the student on campus, and threatened the student with their life. And this is just pure evil.
Well, it is, I've been reminding people that, to a much lesser extent, less violent extent, these attacks against Christian students have been going on for a very long time. And I think it's really incumbent upon Christians especially to stand up and stand alongside these young Jewish Americans as they're coming under attack.
Oh, absolutely. The scripture clearly calls us to stand up for our Jewish brothers and sisters out there who are coming under attack. And as you said, there, for a lesser degree, there's been a lot of marginalization and argumentation with Christians across campus. Now we have full-on, you know, conflict with Jewish students, Jewish professors, Jewish anybody who wants to step onto these campuses. But don't think, Todd, it won't be long before it rolls over to Christians, especially when they find out and they understand that Christians are the biggest supporters right now coming to Israel's aid and to support them. And I really do. You said it the best. Christians need to. We have an obligation to stand up for our Jewish brothers and sisters. We can't let this happen again.
Troy Miller is president of NRB. And Troy, I know you just got back from the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters show. One of the big concerns that I personally have is the attack on AM radio. And a part of it is somewhat selfish, since I own an AM radio station in Memphis, a news talk station. And the concern I have is that the attacks, you know, being focused and directed at AM radio are in fact somewhat political, and I think they're targeting talk radio and religious radio, which pretty much makes up the AM dial.
Oh yeah, absolutely, Todd. The AM dial is pretty much made up by conservative talk radio and Christian teach talk radio, and the third out there is really the Spanish language radio. There's just a number of Spanish language stations across this country, and the rural folks need radio. They need AM radio. AM radio reaches a lot farther than FM does. AM has a better signal to get through storm and storm interference. When any natural disaster comes along, if you go in and grab your emergency radio, a lot of people have those. People don't realize those are tuned to AM frequencies to let you know what's going on. And so you have to wonder why these car manufacturers, especially when the government accounting office came out and said, yeah, we did an audit, and it's really not about the cost of the part that needs to go in there to shield it from interference with the electric vehicles in there. It's really, that's a minuscule cost to these manufacturers. So two things I think that are behind it. One, as you said, there's a push to get AM radio off, to get all the conservative talk off of the dials. The second push behind it is, who's going to control access to information? So there's this thing called the connected car. And so they would like you to have this connected car, and then you have to subscribe who they feel are worthy to be in the car, and really just get rid of the free AM radio altogether.
And I'll just give folks a quick example of how important AM radio can be. Here in Memphis, there was a big mass shooting over the weekend. City Hall literally shut down the ability to comment on any of their social media platforms. They literally shut it down. The local newspaper is a nonprofit, and it's run in cahoots with the taxpayer-funded, PBS station and NPR station. They even shut down comments on their sites. The only place where people were able to engage in conversation and debate about what happened was KWAM radio. So it really is an important piece of getting news and information out to folks, especially when the government can come in just willy-nilly and shut down, free speech.
Right, and the social media companies can do the same thing. They can just arbitrarily shut down that free speech. The government can shut down that free speech. That's why free over-the-air radio is so important to this country, and especially AM, because so many people depend on that. That's where they go to at times of these disasters or incidents like happened in Memphis. So it's important that we have a choice as citizens, as users out there, that we have a choice. We're not forced to make a choice by these car manufacturers or make a choice by the government. We have to have that choice on our own. If we don't have free over-the-air broadcasting, those choices go away.
And again, this is why I know NRB has been supporting the AM for Every Vehicle Act. This is all about protecting AM and the dash. How are those efforts going, Troy?
They're going very well. Actually, in the Senate, we're rapidly approaching 60 co-sponsors for the bill that's moving through the Senate. That would make it filibuster-proof when it goes to the floor for a vote. The House Energy and Commerce Committee will hold a second hearing on AM radio in the dash on April 30th. So it's important for you, for those of you out there that listen to AM radio, depend on AM radio, like your AM radio, and to have a free choice to listen what you would like to listen to pick up the phone and call your congressman and tell them you want to keep AM radio in the dash of cars across this country. You want that to be an option that you can have when you purchase your new vehicle.
Well, I think it's a terrific thing, and it really is all hands on deck. I'm on the board at the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and I know we've been doing a lot of lobbying in Washington, and we just really appreciate the great work you guys are doing at NRB to stand alongside AM radio folk.
Well, look, like you said, it's important. You know, people don't realize that radio is not just about getting information. These AM radio stations are also vital to their communities to get local information and community information out, as well as the number of things that they do that come alongside the communities in natural disasters or times like this. I guarantee you, with that mass shooting in Memphis, there was a group of local pastors and Christian organizations that came in right away to provide the emotional and counseling support that those people needed. And that's because radio, local radio, is plugged into the community. These folks that just plug in their apps into the dash, they're not going to be plugged in to the community like you guys are. Local broadcasters are important, and we're fighting hard for them and for the rights of the listeners to be able to have that kind of service.
That's it. All right. Well, Troy, we have to leave it there. Appreciate all the great work you guys are doing at NRB.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Troy Miller, everybody, president and CEO of National Religious Broadcasters. Seriously, I think this is all an effort by the left to silence conservative talk radio, Christian radio ministries, and that's pretty much it. I mean, that's ultimately what I believe the goal is here. And thank goodness that we have groups like NRB and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and the National Association of Broadcasters who are willing to stand up and fight for AM radio. This is the way we get news and information out. And I'm telling you, as we have seen a lot of conservative cable news organizations get a little squirrely, people are returning back to the roots. And what are the roots? The roots are AM talk radio. That's where Rush Limbaugh got his start. Rush Limbaugh credited with saving the AM radio dial. And I believe that. All right, got to take a break here at 901-260-5926. By the way, this is an opportunity for you to also call your elected leaders, Senate and the House. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. Tell them you want them to save talk radio. 901-260-5926. We'll be right.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Cindy in Pennsylvania. Hi, Cindy. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I just wanted to say I used to be a Democrat. I switched to Republican. But we have our elections tomorrow, and I am really, really disappointed in the way the Republicans have been acting, and they're not doing anything for us, and I'm not sure who to vote for tomorrow.
Well, Cindy, tell me, what is it that concerns you? When you say the Republicans, are you talking about Speaker Johnson, President Trump?
Speaker Johnson, who I thought he would do better than what he seems to be doing. And also, the Republicans just keep letting these passes through, keeping what Biden wants and the Democrats want. They're not doing anything for us. They're not stopping anything that's going on in this country.
Well, this is true. I mean, it's a fair point you're making. I would say, just on a side note, I'm really surprised in Fetterman. I think he's actually been very surprising, pleasantly surprising on a couple of big issues.
Yeah, that makes one of them.
Yeah, but again, I don't know. Who do you like? Who are you? Have you decided who you're voting for tomorrow, Cindy?
There are a couple that I will probably still vote for, but mainly, I'm not sure I want to vote for anybody else. I just am really disappointed in putting my trust in the Republicans.
Well, it's better than the alternative, and I know that may not be a good answer, but quite frankly, it may be the only answer for a lot of us. There just are not any alternatives. So if I were voting in your election tomorrow in the Commonwealth, I'd be going to the ballot box. I'd be voting for every Republican on the ballot, and especially the ones who back Trump and have his endorsement.
I did think of that, but as I said, I never usually really vote straight party. I vote for the people I think are going to do well for us. And as I said, there's only two right now that I really think are, and I'm not sure. I might pass on all the other votes and not vote on anybody.
Cindy, all right, let's just think it through, and you've got some time between now and tomorrow when you go cast your ballot. But again, I would say that if you're going to vote and you're there already, you may as well throw in with some Republicans. It's got to be better than the alternative, as crazy as things are right now. Cindy, I got a skedaddle, and I appreciate you calling in. Let me know what you decide to do tomorrow, Cindy. Will you do that for me?
Sure.
All right, give us a call back. So if Cindy, we're going to break the rule, guys. So if Cindy calls in tomorrow, we're going to put her on the air. We'll find out how things went at the ballot box tomorrow. So folks, what do you tell somebody like Cindy, who is just as disgusted as the day is long with these lousy Republicans we've got? What do you tell somebody like that? How do you encourage them to get out to vote? My only thing is the alternative is a whole heck of a lot worse. At least I think it is. I mean, with right now, let's just say that a motion is made to vacate let's just say they act on the motion to vacate the chair. All right. Let's say if they do that. I think the Democrats are going to step in and they're going to save Mike Johnson. And here's the reason why. Johnson's doing everything that Hakeem Jeffries would do if he were in charge. So there's really no difference right now between a speaker, Mike Johnson, and a speaker, Hakeem Jeffries. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. This is the way the Republicans are behaving. And my concern is there are going to be other people just like Cindy out there who are just sick and tired of all the lies and the deception. We had an earl, was it Patty? Patty from North Carolina nailed it. Speaker Mike Johnson is the guy out there, and he wants us to know that he is a devout Bible-believing Christian, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you turn around and when you lie to the voters, when you lie and say that you're going to do something to protect our southern border, and then you turn around and you don't do that, it causes people to really question who you truly are. And I'm still standing by the fact that I believe Mike Johnson to be a good and decent man. But something has happened. Something has happened behind the closed doors, in the secret meetings, with all of the something's not right. That's all I'm willing to say at this point. Something is just not right. And we'll see how all this plays out. But right now, I'm not too sure it makes a hell of a beans bit of difference if we vacate the chair or not, because the Democrats are going to save Mike Johnson. I truly believe that. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, if you haven't already done so, head over to toddstarns.com. Get yourself a signed copy of my brand new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? If you want to see some reviews from readers, go over to Amazon, and we've got several dozen reviews already up. Go check those out. We'll be right back, folks. Have any of you folks heard of Sheetz before? Sheetz, that's S-H-E-E-T-Z. Sheetz is it's a convenience store, sort of gas station, sort of bodega thing. It's sort of like a Wawa or a Stop and Go, something like that, where you pop in, get some gas, get something to eat. So anyway, they've got hundreds of these Sheetz stores. They're based in Pennsylvania. And anyway, they're being sued by the Biden administration. So Sheetz is being accused of racial discrimination, which is a terrible thing. I can't imagine anybody doing something like that these days. But the EEOC, that's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they claim that Sheetz has discriminated against minority applicants, and prepare yourself for the reason why. So it turns out that Sheetz requires a criminal background check for every employee. So if you want to go work at Sheetz, you've got to go through a criminal background check, and they want to make sure they're not hiring some sort of, a mass murderer. So the EEOC says, well, this is going to disproportionately impact Native American, Black, and multiracial job seekers. Well, how do they know that? It seems to me like the people that are causing discrimination issues here would be the Biden administration. The lawsuit does not allege discrimination was purposeful. So in other words, Sheetz was not going out there and saying, oh, we've got to do a criminal background check because we've got an Indian guy that wants a job here. Now, they're not saying that, but they're saying that just because Sheetz wants to make sure they've got honest, good, hardworking people working for them, that is racial discrimination. According to Fox Business, 14.5% of Black applicants had allegedly been denied employment due to a failed background check. Fewer than 8% of white applicants were denied. So I have a question here. Would you hire somebody with a criminal if they failed the criminal background check? Now, some people would have a problem with it. Some people do have a problem with it. So why should Sheetz be out there sniffing around, snooping around, finding out if people have a criminal past? Why would they do that? All right, well, let me ask you a question. Would you, let's just say that you run a, let's just say that you run a preschool, all right? Would you hire somebody who had a pedophilia background? Would you hire somebody like that to work with the children? Just throwing that out there. Now, let's just say that you've got somebody that they did something stupid when they were a kid or a young adult, and they got in trouble for it. Let's just say the person got caught drunk driving and they had to do some time for drunk driving. Or maybe they robbed a bank or something. I don't know. But let's just say they did their time and they paid their debts to society, and they're now out looking for gainful employment, and they go over to Sheets and they apply for a job. Now, just hear me out on this. What would you do if somebody came to you? Let's just say you are the head honcho at Sheets, and somebody comes to you and says, you know what, I know I've got to do this. I got to fill out this criminal background check, but let me tell you what you're going to find. That I robbed a bank when I was 21 years old, and I regretted doing it. I pled guilty. I did my time, and I'm just looking to restart my life. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I think that the head honcho at Sheets would hire that person. By the way, Sheets is a family-owned company. Because it seems to me that person's trying to do the honest and decent thing and, you know, just trying to be honest about the whole situation. And maybe, just maybe, somebody over at Sheets and their good graces would give that person another chance. But do you think it's fair for the government to go after Sheets and accuse them of discrimination? They're being sued. So they're being sued for doing what just about every company in America does, which is make people go through some sort of a background check. I guarantee you, if you go out there and you're trying to rent an apartment, they're going to run a background check because they want to know who's going to be living in their neighborhood. And again, for example, you know, if you're a drug addict, do you want that person working at your local pharmacy? Probably not. But I'm just, there's not a black and white thing here. A lot of it is just your gut. And again, Sheets is really cutting through all of that by saying, you know what, you got to go, we got to take everybody through a criminal background check. It doesn't matter if it's a white person, black person, Indian person, doesn't matter. Everybody's got to go through it. Do you see that as discrimination? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, let's go to the phones. New Orleans, Miss Janice is hanging out with us. It's been a while, Miss Janice.
Yes, it has. But I do listen to you, Todd, here, and I listen to you in the afternoon on Newsmax. And I really, really liked you very much. You're
thank
a big
you.
Part of my day. Big part of my days.
Well, thank you.
But no, what I wanted to say, I have a saying. And my saying is, voting is vital. And I hope that lady that had called is still listening. I understand, ma'am, that, you know, every Republican is not perfect. But when you look at the comparison between them and what is happening in our country today, we have people screaming, death to America. We have people flowing in over the border each and every day under the Democratic rule here. And I am a registered Republican, and I would not ever go out of my way to vote for a Democrat. If I'm voting and there's a Democrat running against a Republican, I'm sorry, but I confess I have to go with the Republicans. I have to do that. Back in the day, I was a Democrat. I did vote for Democrats, and then I had an eye-opening experience, and I started to see what was going on in our country, and I learned an awful lot. So, I mean, please think about this. Our country is in jeopardy. It really is. And under the Democrats, I can promise you, it's only going to get worse. And it's not a question of if. It's a matter of when. We are going to have something horrible happen here on our own soil. I mean, when you have people out in the streets screaming, death to America, and people coming in from over the border, and everything. We have people that mean us harm right now in this country. And something has to be done about this. We cannot have a nuclear situation or something bad happen here, killing God knows how many people. We just can't. So stand firm. Please, I'm going to say a prayer that you do go to vote and that you vote Republican, because voting is vital.
It's fundamental, Janice. It really is. Now, look, we've got a skedaddle here, but let me ask you a question. Miss Janice, have you had a chance to read my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming?
Not yet, but I'm going to get the Kindle version of it. Yes,
all right,
read it on my phone.
Well, you know what?
I'm going to see about getting it. It's really good.
Well, trust me, it's a good book. All right, here's what I'm going to do, Miss Janice. I'm going to put you on hold. And we're going to send you a signed copy of the book. I know you're going to do the Kindle, but I want to send you a signed copy. Is that okay for me to do?
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I was going to do it anyway, but.
Thank you very much.
All right, Miss Janice, you hang tight. Hang tight. And Miss Lydia will get all of your info, and we'll send you a signed copy of the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. By the way, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I will be on Bill O'Reilly's TV show. So you'll have to watch that. We did a pre-tape. It was a spirited discussion. So I'll just leave it at that. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have the great congressman from Texas's District 21, Congressman Chip Roy, joining us. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Well, Todd, I'm not in Washington, D.C., so I'm doing a little better.
Oh, that's good. That's always a good thing, Congressman. Look, Our listeners are really fired up over the Speaker of the House. Can you give us any guidance, insight into what happened to Mike Johnson?
Well, look, you know, I understand the question. I get it a lot. I get it from my constituents. I get it from people all over the country. Nobody knowing that I represent believes that we ought to be spending $100 billion time that we were going to take everything we had to go to try to force Joe Biden to secure the United States. Look, I think Mike is an honorable man who believes that it was important for us to continue both Ukraine and Israel. I obviously support Israel unequivocally, frankly. I just didn't believe that we ought to both fund Israel and fund Hamas at the same time, which is what that bill on Saturday did. With Ukraine, I didn't believe that we should fail to honor the promises that the Speaker made for 5 months and that we all made when we said we would force Joe Biden to secure the border. And frankly, I think all of it was unforgivably irresponsible fiscally when we didn't pay for a single dime of it. So I couldn't support it. I didn't like having to oppose legislation that included support for Israel. But unfortunately, the way it was crafted as a package, it was going to achieve the desired outcome, which was to jam the Senate and to not allow them to amend it and to achieve the Senate result, which is why Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden like it. So, you know, the Speaker will have to answer to why he put it on the floor. I disagreed. I was public about it. And that's where we are.
Well, and the other part of this, Congressman, and almost I think this is unforgivable, the fact that not a single penny is going to deal with this border crisis that we've been dealing with.
Well, it really is a complete failure for us not to address the border issue. Now, of course, money alone wouldn't fix the problem with Biden because he would just use money to process more people illegally and dump them into the country. But what we should have done was pass the core tenets of H.R. 2, which was a really strong border bill. It's nothing irrational about it, by the way. Take that, attach it to the Ukraine funding, and send it over to the Senate. Now, the Speaker will tell you, and he has said publicly, well, I didn't have the votes to do that because too many of my Republican colleagues didn't want to support Ukraine. Well, number one, that should tell you something. A majority of Republicans have voted against the Ukraine piece of this on Saturday, including the conference chairwoman, Elise Stefanik. A majority of Republicans disagreed with the Speaker. That's not the first time. Every bill that we've passed since he's become Speaker has been done with more Democrats than Republicans. But we could have moved a bill if the Speaker had been willing to force us all into a room and say, guys, We're going to send something over to the Senate that includes Ukraine and border security, because that's our leverage. We could have gotten that done, but he chose not to do it, and I think that was a mistake.
No, I'm with you on that, and I just wonder if he is of the right temperament. I'm with you. He is an honorable man. He's a good Christian man, but I just wonder if he's got what it takes to be a tough, strong leader.
Well, look, I think he does what he believes. I think he's convicted. I don't want to speak too much about him and characterizing him as a human, other than that he's a good and decent man. But you know what? I mean, one of the things that I see among, for example, our people from seminary and Southern Baptists in particular, where I see a lot of this, you know, you want to make nice, right? You want to figure out how to, you know, get something done like this. You feel like, oh, it's on my heart to do X, Y, or Z. Well, we're responsible as Republican leaders, meaning a leader in a republic, in a Republican form of government. We are responsible for making tough decisions to protect our way of life. And that believes the Constitution, limited government. And I believe here we needed someone who would stare Chuck Schumer in the eye and say, Chuck, you're not going to get a single dollar of Ukraine funding, notwithstanding the merits, even though I'm more with you than not, I'm saying if I were Mike Johnson. And you're not going to get a dollar unless you secure the border of the United States. And if you don't do that, then I'm going to go tell everybody in America the truth. You walked away from Ukraine in order to promote open borders that are endangering Americans, and I will see you on Election Day in November. That is what we need a speaker to say and do and mean it, and then you'll get the result you want.
You know, that's probably the best analysis I've seen of this, and I'm a Southern Baptist. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen more fight at a Wednesday night church business meeting than I've seen from the Speaker of the House. So I get it. Congressman Chip Roy on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, Congressman, you look at what's happening around the nation with these anti-Semitic protests breaking out on university campuses around the country. I'm wondering, is there anything that Congress can do, you know, as far as the purse strings to these universities that are allowing this to go on?
Well, sure there is. Now, of course, Columbia is a little different than some of our state-run institutions, and certainly there are some bigger research institutions to get more of our dollars. But we absolutely could take some steps to change things. One is to withhold those research dollars from many of these universities who are woke. And it's not just leftists like Columbia. I mean, even places like, you know, my alma mater, the University of Virginia, or my law school alma mater, the University of Texas, or my wife's alma mater, Texas A&M. They all have woke stuff that we need to get rid of. But importantly, why are we subsidizing not student loans in the first place, much less than forgiving those loans? What we ought to do is make the universities be on the hook for all of the loans. So if you're Columbia, you're dishing out the loans. You want those $100,000 tuition bites, then you own it, and you deal with whether or not they pay it back or not. So if you're going to graduate these losers who sit around pontificating after they sit in some groupthink nonsense like a bad scene out of Legally Blonde, then you're going to take these idiots and you're going to say, how are you going to go get a job? Well, if the universities had skin in the game, maybe we could stop them from doing this garbage. But my short answer to everything is stop funding it. And that's everything. The federal government, the state government, parents, stop writing checks to these idiots who hate you and your country. That's what we're doing.
Well, that's it. All right. Well, Congressman, as you and I were speaking, the news coming out of Washington, the Senate has just passed the $95 billion aid package to Ukraine, Gaza, Israel, and Taiwan. So there you go.
Well, that was expected. I mean, I will say the one upside is I'm glad Israel will get some money. But you know what? You're funding Hamas at the same time. Then, you know, it seems like you're undermining it, and it's on the taxpayer, and I hate it. So I wish that hadn't happened, but yep. We'll keep fighting. The American people are seeing what's happening in real time, and we'll keep fighting for you.
All right. Well, Congressman, look, we really appreciate your hard work, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you.
All right. God bless. Congressman Chip Roy, one of the fighters out there, folks. And, again, it's a challenge for everybody, and we're not going to belabor the Mike Johnson thing. I mean, what's done is done. We will call him out if he continues to do really bad things. And we will try to cheer him when he does something good. And if he does something good, we will do that. But the reality is we've got to stay focused, laser focused on getting Donald Trump reelected. And if the House of Representatives is trying to thwart that, we're going to call out the people who are doing that. I mean, it's really going to be that simple. All right, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax. Be sure to hang out with us. You can watch us on the Newsmax Facebook and YouTube channels. And by the way, during the commercial breaks, I'm actually on chatting with people in the live chat, so that's a lot of fun. So be sure to check us out tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. All right, folks, it has been a great day. If you missed any of the interviews, you can head over to the website, download our free podcast, and become a part of our free podcast community. All right, folks, get out there. You be good, America.